Well, I'd like to take this time and join in your pastor in thanking all of you for putting up with me. Oh, you've put up with me. I mean, it's just amazing how I believe, but you know, through tests and trials, you get stronger. You know what I mean? You develop character. So you develop character, and I pray that you've been blessed by these meetings. I believe you have. I know I've been encouraged. I've been strengthened. I appreciate all those that's worked and helped in here, starting in the parking lots out there to coming inside the doors to the baby holders and bottle holders and the cook pots and the ushers and the sound department. I see they are high and lifted up back there. You know what I mean? I'm waiting for one of them to do the Blues Brothers off of there. You know what I mean? If you don't know who they are, forget it. But anyway, flip off. And I appreciate all the ministers and all the character and discipline that I see in you as a church. I appreciate the usher department. I appreciate the praise and worship department. I appreciate the pastoral department. I appreciate the sweeping department. I appreciate the chair department. Amen. I appreciate the carpet. I appreciate the building. Appreciate everything. Appreciate all of you. And we thank you, my wife and I, thank you for all your kindness while we've been here, all your love and all your support. We appreciate it so very much because it's just a warm, fuzzy feeling. And I know we're not moved by feelings, but it's a good, warm, fuzzy feeling to know that people are standing with you, that people believe in you, and it just helps you to continue on. Because sometimes, you know, you do encounter opposition. Pastor Tim gave me a revelation, I believe it was today. He says, if you're never confronting the devil, I think what we deduced is you may be going the same way he is. You know, so so you know, living for the Lord doesn't mean that you're not going to have a test or trial, but it does mean that he's going to bring you out on the other side victorious. In Jesus' name, amen. So we appreciate you. Thank you, pastors, for putting up with us, and thank you for allowing us to come. Thank for all of you for coming, everything you've sown, everything you've done, every prayer you pray. We appreciate that. I'd like to make a few comments before I get into what I believe the Lord wants us to share tonight. But, you know, the nations, there's a rumbling in the nations. If you've been able to come to our meetings, and I know some of you have here, come to our meetings, you know, we've been praying for China, and you see what's going on now with China. And then, of course, we've been praying for North Korea, and then, of course, Russia. And of course, from time to time, praying for Israel, and you know what's going on there. Israel under attack, and I believe that I've got word or somewhere news sources said that one of our aircraft carriers, and no telling what else, is on the way over now to Israel. And of course, the saying is, and again, I'm just repeating what I heard, that Russia may be behind the people, supporting the people that are attacking Israel now. Well, that's not good. But remember, if you was in our meetings, the Lord told us that they were plotting some things against the United States. Russia was. Plotting some things against the United States secretly that's not known publicly. And of course, you can see it in there, and they're backing people and things. But I know this, regardless of what it looks like in the natural, we can pray and God can change things in the physical world by the supernatural. So I encourage you to pray about this when you get an opportunity. Lift up Israel and pray about China, pray about North Korea, pray about Russia. And of course, we pray for all the nations of the earth, every kindred, every tribe, every race of people on the planet. In fact, we even pray for the United States of America, believe it or not. So we want God's will and God's plan to take place and his purposes to take place. So we want to pray for them and pray for the nations and pray for what God's doing in the world. But at the same time, when you get through praying for them, if you have the opportunity, take time to pray about the body of Christ. The body of Christ must come to a place of maturity in this day. And the only way that it's going to come to this place of maturity, according to Jesus himself in Ephesians chapter 4, is when the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher stands fully in their offices to impart to the church, the body of Christ as a whole, things that are necessary in order for us to grow, develop, and mature, and we're not blown by every wind of doctrine anymore. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. You can go read it later, and you'll find out there's a purpose for it. The enemy has fought that over the years, but he specifically and specially fought it here in the United States in the church of the United States, allowing the fivefold ministry gifts. And not every church, your church is wonderful about wanting everything that God has, and these churches here and family churches are. And we're not belittling anybody, but there's many churches that don't realize that there's more that God wants to do. So pray for the body of Christ that will come to maturity. Pray about the things that God wants to do in our nation, because I believe that when this last election took place, God gave us a reprieve for a period of time from socialism, which will eventually take us to communism. And we must take advantage of this window of opportunity that's upon us, because we know from looking in the political scene and just hearing what people have to say, you don't even have to be spiritual, just hear what people say and you're thinking, my Lord and my God, if they get into office and get into power and have the ability, there's no telling where we would go and what would happen to this nation. But do you know you and I have authority as to who goes in that office? Don't get me over there now. But you and I have the authority and the say-so. I remember this when Mr. George Walker Bush was elected to president of the United States, as president of the United States. You remember what was the gentleman running against him? You remember who was running for the Democratic ticket? Al Gore, Mr. Gore. And he's into all this stuff, but anyway, Mr. Al Gore. But anyway, it got contended, in great contention about the votes, the dimple chads, the bent chads, the no chads, in between chads, and down in Florida. You remember all this stuff, and the election came down to one state, but really it didn't come down to one state. It came down between God and the devil. And I was in a church north of Atlanta, Georgia, about 30 miles north of Atlanta, Georgia. And this had been appealed to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court was saying that they was going to point it towards Mr. Gore. They was going back and forth. They were appealing again, and George Walker Bush is appealing too. But the Spirit of God came on me. Ah, ha, ha. I said, the Spirit of God came on me while I was standing in that pulpit, had no idea it was about to happen, and the gift of faith went into operation. And the Spirit of God said that the world has no lot nor part in this matter, and George Walker Bush will be the next president of the United States of America. And I spoke that out boldly, and then the audience was sitting there looking at me, ducking, And the Lord said, have the people declare that George Walker Bush is the next president of the United States of America. I said, the Holy Ghost just said for you to declare that George Walker Bush is the next president of the United States of America. So they ducked down behind it. Said, George Walker Bush is the next president of the United States of America. It takes faith to declare when you can't see. It takes faith to declare when the Supreme Court says it's going to be this way. And I said, no, that's not what the Holy Ghost said do. I said, declare it boldly. And it took them several times, but finally a boldness came upon that audience, and they were all declaring mightily that George Walker Bush was the next president of the United States of America. And guess what? He was. We have more authority in this area than we realize. We have more authority to change things in the political arena than we realize. But I believe that you've got some revelation of it. So let's pray about these things as you have time. And I believe that God will lead us, God will guide us, and I believe some of these things will be subsided. There's things that's going to happen, we know that. But there's things that can be held back until their time. Isn't that right? And so thank God for the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? And God's going to lead us, God's going to guide us, and God's going to direct our paths. So I'm so glad that you came tonight, and now you're enthused about prayer. But open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. By direction of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to speak on faith tonight. Not direction of me, because I was had another idea. But it's not my idea. It's God's idea. Talk about faith. We live in an era, a time, a season of faith. Faith is waning across the body of Christ. Not in every church, not in every Christian. But we need to be constantly hearing things about faith. We need to be constantly building ourselves up about faith. Because things don't happen just because God wants them to happen. Things don't happen just because you want them to happen. Things don't happen just because God has the ability to make them happen. Things don't happen just because God is a miracle-working God. Things occur in our life because we exercise faith. There is only one thing that will please God, and that is faith. So thank God He has the ability. Thank God He's the miracle worker, but I will never partake of His abilities and miracles unless I do my part, which is exercise my faith. Isn't that right? So with your permission, with your pastor's permission, Reverend Michael's permission, I'm going to preach to myself tonight. Oh, I'm just going to preach to myself, and I'm going to skin myself up one side down the other. But because you were so gracious to come, I'm going to let you listen if you want to. But there's no pressure on anybody. Where did we say turn to? Hebrews chapter 11. Scriptures that you're familiar with. But being familiar with Scripture doesn't necessarily mean that we are practicing the Scripture. Knowing what the Scripture is in the Bible doesn't necessarily mean I'm obeying that Scripture in the Bible. And I'm not getting on anybody. I'm just saying we have to be reminded. Because sometimes we just want to skate along, knocker and neutral. And you can. There's some hills around here. If you want to get somewhere, just get on top of it, knocker neutral, let her go. Boy, I mean, roll them down the hill. That'd be all right. But let's see what the Word of God says. Hebrews chapter 11, again, by the direction of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in verse number 6 of Hebrews 11, says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Speaking of God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. In order to understand this verse, you must first be able to define the word impossible. The word impossible defined means not possible. So without faith, it is not possible. It is not possible to please God. So why do we try it any other way? Somebody said, well, Brother Randy, I kind of got this idea about pleasing God. Excuse me. Without faith, it is not possible to please God. Brother Randy, I kind of got this idea about, excuse me. The Bible says, if you'll permit me to tell you again, without faith, it is not possible to please God. And we can see, and we will see from the Scriptures, without faith, it's impossible to receive from God. Now, there's another side to this message. You could climb up the other side of the mountain. There's something called the gifts of the Spirit that can go into operation. And the person that's receiving, when the gifts of the Spirit in operation, many times has to have no faith whatsoever. Good example, biblical example that you'll all know, is the man at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus walked up to him and said, "Will thou be made whole?" The man said, "I ain't got nobody to put me in the water. When the water's be in trouble, I ain't got nobody to..." So you can see he didn't have faith. He didn't even know who Jesus was. So he couldn't have faith at all. He was telling him what couldn't happen. Isn't that right? But Jesus, through the gifts of the Holy Ghost, working of miracles, gifts of healings, and the gift of faith operating through Jesus as a man, ministering, said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and began to walk. And that man did not have 1 ounce of faith. And he had some faith when he started walking. You must be aware of that. So that is a miracle. And many people are sitting waiting on a miracle. But that man waited a long, long time. And many people live and die waiting on a miracle. But there's one thing for sure we know of. You do not have to wait for the Word of God to work for you. The Word of God will always work for those who believe it and act upon it. But without faith, it is not possible to please Him. It is impossible to please Him. It says, without faith, it is impossible or not possible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Seek Him how? By faith. That's what He's talking about. He's talking about faith here. He's a rewarder. Notice He don't take it away. He gives it to you. He rewards those who walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. So it's good to have hopes. It's good to have desires. It's good to have a vision for the future, a vision about what you want, dream about what you want, think about what you want. But it's faith that brings your desires and hopes to pass. Isn't that right? Isn't that what you taught me? Faith it is. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. So if I want things that I do not have and things that I hope for, then what I need to do is I need to exercise my faith in order for those things to take place in my life. God wants you and I to exercise our faith. Nothing is impossible to them that believe. Nothing is impossible to them that believe. Nothing is impossible to them that believe. Listen, I'm not a broken record. I'm following the Holy Ghost. Nothing is impossible to them that believe, which means exercise their faith. Isn't that right? Act on their faith. So we want to talk about here just briefly, and that would be a miracle, but God's in the miracle business. We want to talk about what faith is not, because you'll find 80% of the body of Christ right there. Thank you for getting excited about it. You ready to run now or you want to wait? What faith is not? And we don't say it to talk disparagingly to anybody, but we educate ourselves spiritually so we understand that we're not wasting our time or spinning our wheels, so to speak, hoping something will work. So we're going to talk about what faith is not. And so if we're going to talk about what faith is not, certainly we must have to talk about what faith is. Isn't that right? And then behind that, if we're going to talk about all of that, then we want to know, we want to talk about how to know when you're in faith. Said, can you know when you're in faith? Absolutely. According to what? The Bible. So are you ready? What faith is not? Are you ready for this? Faith is not trying to get God to do something for you. Faith is not trying to get God to do something for you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Faith is not trying to get God to do something for you. I said, faith is not trying to get God to do something for you. Why? Because faith can only begin where the will of God is known. If you don't know God's will, you can never be in faith. God's will is God's word. God's will is God. I said, Brother Randy, this is too elementary. I know, that's why most folks don't do it. They're looking for something hard. It's easy. Faith is not trying to get God to do anything for you. If you're trying to get Him to do something for you, then that means you believe that He has not done it. And if He has not done it, it cannot be faith. You've already, when you go and pray the prayer of faith, or say, I'm going to act in faith, you've got to already know that it belongs to you. You've got to already know that it's God's will. You're not hoping it's God's will. You're not thinking maybe one day it'll be God's will. But you're never going to be in faith until beforehand you know it's God's will before you act on what you're believing for. And the way that you develop that is by getting in the Word, find out what the Word says, meditate on that Word, find the Scriptures, and stand on the Scriptures. Faith is not trying to get God to do something for you. Can I tell you my clown story? Oh, everybody needs a clown story. You remember the big circus tent? Anybody ever been to a circus? Circus? Yes, circus. There was a big, gigantic circus tent. And of course, out there, they got these rings in the big arena, you know, under the big top, they called it. Yeah, the big top. That's what it was. And they got this ring out there under this big arena, under the big top. And they got several of them. But in one of these particular rings, you know, they got this, they got a donkey out there in this ring. And then they've got three clowns. And these clowns got on these fluffy, big, poofy clothes and polka dots and red nose and hair and red rosy cheeks and a red nose sticking out and big floppy shoes, you know, and they walk like this. And so this clown was out there, these three of them, and this donkey is sitting down on his hind end. Granny would say his bow hunkus. He's sitting down on his bow hunkus, you know what I mean, on his hind end. And these clowns, you could see, they got the spotlight on them, the drums are rolling, you know. And you can see these clowns want to ride the donkey, but the donkey was not participating in the activity. He just sat there, grinning. He ain't moving. And so this clown get on his back, you know, straddle his back and grab his mane and grab the reins and pull on him and tug. And then one would get in the front and grab him by his ears, not hurting him, but trying to pull him to his feet. Another clown would get under his back end and try to push him up, and they would fall and roll, and the kids would roar with laughter, and the adults too, wondering what in the world's going on. But this donkey is like concrete, thoroughly mixed and well set. I don't know if you've felt food with donkeys or mules or any kind of animal. They can be stubborn at times. And this is one of them stubborn donkeys. He's not going to participate. He's not going to let nobody ride him. And he's wondered what we're going to do. So they're working up a lather, sweating, trying to get this donkey to its feet. And, of course, the crowd's roaring with laughter at all the antics they're going through, pulling and shoving and pushing and grabbing the donkey's tail, trying to pick him up, you know, wasn't hurting him, but, you know, going through all that, and the donkey just sitting there grinning. You're not getting me up. So the other two, one of the clowns left the other two and kind of started walking to the side of the ring. The spotlight kind of followed him, you know, and then all of a sudden he disappeared behind the curtain that was there. And the other two were still out there grabbing this donkey, sitting astraddle of him, trying to get him up, pulling him by the ears, grabbing him by the tail. And suddenly the spotlight hit the curtain where the clown had disappeared, and here come the clown out. And in the clown's hand, he had a fishing pole about 6 foot long. We call it a cane pole down in the country. Y'all have cane? Well, anyway. Had a fishing pole. You know what a fishing pole, a wooden fishing pole. And he was walking along. And so these other two clowns stopped what they were doing and they come to investigate. What are you doing? You know, you can't hear what they're saying because they're just acting out. And he was talking, you know, doing things. So he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a piece of fishing line about 2 to 3 foot long. He stops and he carefully attaches his fishing line to the end of this pole. This clown somehow has some wisdom. Oh, he's done thought about this. He has become scientific. I mean, he's going to ride this donkey. He's going to get that doggone donkey to his feet, and he's going to ride him. And they're standing there, the other clown scratching their head. What is he doing, you know? And so he just said, stand back, stand back. So he's standing on the back side of the donkey doing all this. He reaches to his other big fluffy pocket, with these floppy shoes, red nose, rosy cheeks, you know, hair sticking up everywhere like y'all look in the mornings, you know. Well, you can be a clown. When you look at yourself in the mirror, just say, I'm a clown. My Lord, out of it. I can be in the circus. Maybe you ought not listen to me, you know what I mean? And he, this clown, out of his other pocket, opposite from where he pulled out the fishing line, picked out a big, red, delicious, juicy apple with a long wooden stem on it where it had been plucked from a tree. But the stem was still attached to the apple. He carefully ties this fishing line to the stem on that apple, and the fishing line's attached to the end of the fishing pole. He tells the clowns to stand back. He straddles that donkey. He gets him a handful of that mane, and he lowers gently that fishing pole with the apple on it right out in front of that donkey's nose where he can smell it, but out of biting distance so he can't bite it. And guess what the donkey did? Here he come alive. I mean, he started, that donkey started running around and around and around and around that ring. And everybody's laughing. I mean, this guy has outsmarted that donkey. That donkey is chasing the apple. I got news for the donkey. He'll never get the apple chasing it. Wow, the apple is already his. He's got to do one thing. Stop, throw the dumb clown off his back to eat the apple. Perhaps we may be the donkey in the moral of this story. And the devil has saddled us up and put the promises of God way out there, instead of letting us know that they were given to us way back yonder. They're already mine. I don't have to chase them. All I've got to do is set my faith because they're already mine. But the devil has saddled us up like that. And said, one of these days, if you work hard enough, if you run hard enough, if you slave hard enough, if you sweat hard enough, the promise may become yours. And you take off. And wear yourself out. Pass out. Give up. And say, this stuff don't work. No, it don't work. Stop. Throw the dumb devil off your back. Eat the apple. Apple's already yours. It's a matter of what a circus, it's amazing what a circus tent can do for us. And a clown story. Jesus taught in parables. So-and-so's likened unto so-and-so, right? So what we do is we make sure that we're not having the promises of God way out there somewhere. Always look back to the cross. Among other things that Jesus said, he said three powerful words on that cross. What were they? It is finished. All the promises of God are already what? Yes, and they are amen. So I am not chasing the promises anymore. They're already mine. They're already mine. They're already yours. God requires that we walk by faith and believe by faith to receive them. Why? I've tried to change his mind about it, and I can't. Dad Hagin for years said he tried to change the Lord's mind about it, but he couldn't either. There's only one way to please God, and that's by faith. He wants us to accept him at his word just because he said it. He said it. He wants us to accept him at his word. And that pleases him. That's the highest level of pleasure that you can give the Heavenly Father, when you accept his word at face value. It's already yours. All the promises are yours. So faith, what faith is not? Faith is not trying to get God to do something for you. Faith? I said, faith is not trying to get God to do something for you. Faith is not trying to get God to do something for you. Faith is not trying to get God to do something for you. Let me get over here. This section needs it a bunch. Faith is not trying to get God to do something for you. Why? Pastor Tim taught us. He's already done it. When the reality hits us by faith that it's mine. That's when you actually enter into faith. Now, I'll say this. There's a fight of faith. The Bible talks about the good fight of faith, where your conscience and your mind and your circumstances deal with you, and so on and so forth. So, if faith is not trying to get God to do something for me, then the question, remember, that you thought about all afternoon, you said, when I get there, I'm going to ask him this question. I want to know. I've got to know the answer. I have got to know. I just can't wait. I can't wait. And the question you want to ask is, what is faith? If faith is not trying to get God to do something for me, what is faith? Because when you understand faith and really what it is, it'll make it a lot easier. And because I knew that you was going to ask me that question somehow, I've got the answer from the Holy Ghost. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen or perceived with the physical senses. Faith has nothing to do with what you can see, feel, taste, or touch. It has nothing to do with it. Can I give you a country definition of faith that always helped me? And I believe it'll help you. But this is what faith is. Faith, Bible faith, is believing that you have something that is not yet manifested in the physical, material world. Faith is believing that you have something that has not yet manifested itself in the physical, material world. Does it exist? Yes, it does. Where? In the realm of the Spirit. But the way I transitioned it out of the realm of the Spirit into the physical world is through the vehicle of faith. They just, launched a big rocket up to the space station. And they're carrying resources up there to the space station. I don't know if you saw all that. I'm kind of interested in that. In fact, the guy Randall flies with, he wants to be an astronaut. In fact, he's already paid $100,000 to go to space. And the company went bankrupt. My God. But they're going up there now. They're flying people up there. And I think one of the rides is like $200,000. That way, send Reverend Loketic. Let him tell us what it looks like. They take them up there and they bring it back, you know. But anyway, when they go there to space, there's a special vehicle that has to be made a certain way and designed a certain way to be able to handle the atmosphere pressures and everything. And all the things that happen, and they go up there, and they fly around the space station, they wave it, when, hey, how you doing? And then they dock with the space station, and they take the black-eyed peas and turnip greens and hog jowls and all that good stuff, and the steak and potatoes and the roast and all that, and they drag it in there, and they say, shoo, go back down there and get us some more. But that is a special capsule or spaceship that's designed to do that. Just not anything or anybody can do it if you don't have the proper equipment. You've got to have the proper equipment, the proper space machine to go into space and come back. It works the same way with faith. It works the same way with faith. The machine that it takes to go into the realm of the Spirit and bring back into the physical world what it is that you're desiring is faith. That's the vehicle. So are you ready to go? Let's go. Let's launch. But what is the definition of faith? Faith is believing that you have something that has not yet manifested itself in the physical world. Faith is believing that you have something. That's what faith is. You believe you have it. But you can't touch it, you can't taste it, you can't smell it, you can't do anything. It's not there in the natural. If it's there, you don't have to have faith for it. You know it. You understand? And there's where many people waffle and wiggle, because I can't see it. How do I know that I have it? We know we have it because God already said it belongs to us. How do we know that? The Word says so. Isn't that right? So, faith, what is faith? Faith is believing that you have something that has not yet manifested itself in the physical world. If it's already manifested itself, you don't have to have faith for it. You got it. But that's the vehicle that we bring it out of the unseen into the seen, is the vehicle of faith. Aren't you excited? Aren't you excited? I said, oh, I'm excited, I'm excited. I'm excited, I'm excited. I'm excited. Then the question that you wanted to ask, remember you was thinking about this a lot. You said, oh, yes, I'm going to ask this question. In your mind, I can just see it now. Your typewriter's going, yes, yes, that's the question. What's the question? What's the question? The question that you wanted to ask, that you was just going to, you was going to stay up all night, maybe three nights, just to get the answer to this question. And the question that you wanted to ask me tonight is this one. You wanted to know it more than anything in the world. What is it? You wanted to ask this question. How do I know when I'm in faith? How do I know? I'm glad you ask. Do you want the Bible to tell you how to know when you're in faith? It's right in the Bible. See, the Bible comes by revelation. And I've received this by revelation. Because everything that I've had to do, and I haven't been perfect. I mean, I'm still growing. I'm still developing. But in order for me to even be standing here today, the miraculous had to start in my life years ago. And so I went to God and asked Him to help me, to teach me, to train me. And so He began to teach me these things years ago and develop these things in my life. So you already know where to turn to. I don't even have to tell you. You already know. I do? Yes, remember, you told me to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. You had it there in your spirit. You just hadn't spoke it out yet. So I got faith in you. Hebrews chapter 4. You remember that? Hebrews chapter 4. Because you asked the question, remember, how do I know when I'm in faith? And then what? So now, we're going to let the Bible answer it for us. The Bible answer it. Will you be satisfied when you get a Bible answer? And then we're going to talk about this, how it all works, you know. But we're just giving the basics. So, Brother Randy, this is too basic. It's too elementary. No. It is the highest thing, really, you can learn. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It's not possible to please God without faith. Hebrews chapter 4. And again, it's not that you don't know it. I'm just reminding you of what you know. Isn't that right? Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore, verse 1, let us therefore fear, which means be aware, be alert, unless a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached in verse 2, as well as unto them. It says, but the word preached to those folks did not profit them. They did not benefit from it. Why? It was not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It's one thing to hear what to do and hear what God says, but it's another thing to do what God says. Faith is an act. Faith is an act. It's always action. Faith is never passive. Faith is never passive. It's always an action. So it did not profit them. The word didn't profit them. Hearing the word didn't profit them because they did not, and it didn't benefit from it, because they did not mix, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3, and this is where you want to get to. It says, for we which have believed, which means entered into faith, do what? Enter into what? Rest. The worry is over. I don't worry about it anymore. I have literally received it into my spirit. and the devil screams at me. Where's it at then? Where's it at then? Where's it at then? Where's it at then? Show it to me. Show it to me. I just rest. I say, shut up. I bind you, devil, in Jesus' name. It's mine. I've received it in my spirit. He said, for we which have believed, which means entered into faith, do enter into rest. Peace. No more worry. No more worry. No more wondering. When you're in faith, you're in peace, you're in rest. He said, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. It's not going to be mine in the future. It's mine in the past. And I just accept it. By faith. By faith. By faith. Can I tell on myself? Everybody likes for me to tell on myself and tell my adventures. All right. Here I am. And I got this wild, harebrained idea that I was going to become a pilot. Brother Randy. I was going to become a pilot. And I was going to obtain an airplane. Now, at the time that I got this harebrained, wild idea, I was driving a faith mobile. You know what a faith mobile is? And thank God for faith mobiles. You grow and develop a lot during that time. Faith mobile is something, a faith mobile is something, I know you haven't seen it on your emblem of your cars, but there are faith mobiles. You pray it will start. You pray it will get you there. And then, of course, you carry a gallon jug of water and 5 gallons of oil in the trunk. And then, when you get ready to come back, you get an intercession. That's called a faith mobile. Thank God for faith mobiles, because you have to exercise your faith. So I'm driving a faith mobile. I mean, I couldn't even bought old sitting hen. I couldn't have bought a laying hen. Don't make me teach y'all all this stuff. I'm telling you. I know some of you know this stuff. I couldn't bought a setting hen. I couldn't have bought a laying hen. I couldn't even bought a hen with bitties. I couldn't have bought nothing in the natural. So if I'm going to obtain this grandiose idea, the only vehicle I could do it in is the capsule of faith. So I went to the Word. First, I talked to my wife about it and asked her to pray about it. You know, and in the natural, it didn't seem good. And then we discussed it again. I remember one evening we was going out to eat somewhere. I think we was going to Pritchett's Fish Camp. Y'all remember Pritchett's out on Buena Vista Road? Y'all remember where Buena Vista Road? Buena Vista Road, Buena Vista, but Buena Vista means good view. They was lying about that road. I'm telling you, but in another language, it means good view, you know. There's a city in Georgia named Buena Vista, Georgia. But anyway, it was Columbus, Georgia, Pritchett Fish Camp. Anyway, it was then that I realized by talking to my wife, I was going to learn to fly. So I'd seen this sign in Eufaula, Alabama. Anybody, you didn't go down to Eufaula. But anyway, it wasn't far from where you was. Well, I don't know if you went down. You might have flew over it, going down to Florida or something. But anyway, Eufaula, Alabama, a little airport. In fact, remember when the tornadoes hit in Alabama? That's where it destroyed the airport and almost every plane out there. Not long ago, it just did. It was that same airport. It wouldn't be now. I didn't do it. But anyway, I had seen this sign in my travels going to preach down in South Georgia, South Alabama, down in Florida. I'd go down that way to back roads, you know. And there was a sign sitting out there beside the highway, and it said, learn to fly $600. Well, that didn't quite tell me the truth, did it? And, of course, this is way on back yonder in 1988. But it said, learn to fly for $600. And I'd remembered that sign. I said, so I'm going back to down there to Eufaula. Eufaula, Alabama was by Lake Eufaula. Lake Eufaula was backup waters from a hydroelectric dam off the Chattahoochee River. Y'all remember that. And the Chattahoochee flows down south into Lake Seminole. Y'all remember that? Seminole Indians? that goes to Lake Seminole. And then out of there flows another river that goes down into the Apalachicola River. In fact, you can go from Columbus, Georgia, all the way down through a series of locks and dams and come out in the Gulf of Mexico. I know Pastor Tim is looking to sail this thing. And go. So here I am, and I go down there, and I walk in, and CFI, Certified Flight Instructor Lawrence, was at the counter grinning, ready for me. Basically a farmer that done flight instruction on the side. So I come in there, and I said, I want to learn to fly an airplane. He said, what makes you think you want to do that? I said, well, I just want to learn to fly an airplane. He said, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. You know, he's trying to talk me out of it. My Lord, talk me into it. Let's go. Let's go. And he said, if you're really sure that you want to try all this, he said, I'll give you your first lesson free. Which I'll just take you up that little Cessna 150. I don't fit too good today in the 150. I can just tell you that right now. You'd probably have to have somebody tow me off or push me off. Or Reverend Michael to pull me off in that hot rod car he's got. You know what I mean? Then I could get off the ground in the thing. But CFI Lawrence got me out there, and we took off in the sky, and he got up about 3,000 feet. You know, he's sitting in the co-pilot seat. He put me in the pilot seat like I knew what I'm doing. I'd never been in anything like this in my life. And I was intimidated by 150. Now, that means nothing to you, but any pilot would know. You know. But anyway, I was intimidated by 150. All this stuff. And he gets up there about 3,000 feet, said, here, take the controls. He said, I'll work the rudders. He said, keep it straight and level. I didn't know what he's talking about, straight and level. The next thing you know, I was diving to the left, and the nose is down towards the ground. You know what I mean? He grabbed it and pulled it back. He said, I said, keep it straight and level. I said, what does that mean? He said, don't crash us. That's what it means. Don't kill us in this doggone thing. Yeah. And here I go again, going down this way, you know, just not knowing how to operate the airplane. I don't have the skills. I haven't done it yet. You know, I don't know what to do. And he said, preacher, he knew I was a preacher, I already told him. He said, you better go pray about this again. I said, you hadn't showed me how to do anything. He said, well, I will if you're really serious about it. So we flew around. He finally got me where I could at least keep the wings halfway level, you know. Didn't roll him out. And there was times or two that he got pretty heated at me. Good farmers can get pretty heated, you know. And I realized that door had a handle on it. All I had to do was open that door and roll her over. And he's gone. My God. Buddy, you better stay right with God. Flight instructors' life are dangerous. I'm just here to tell you. Brother Randy, I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we get back to the airport. He said, I'm going to give you your student pilot kit free. Because he didn't believe I'd make it, you know. And I said, well, there's one more problem we have. He said, what's that? I said, how do you pay for all this? Remember, I couldn't even bought a setting hen or a laying hen or a hen with biddies already hatched out. And I think I could rent then a 150, don't pass out now, for $22 an hour wet. And I think 100 or more. Hey, those days are over, he's saying. I know on our way, too, they're like 100 bucks, 90 bucks an hour, you know, or maybe even more, even for a little small one. Because that's the biggest expense in learning to fly if you don't have your own airplanes, renting it, which is not anything major. You can do it. You can handle it. Anyway, here I am. So I got this pilot log book, and he writes down, you know, my first lesson. And then he says, I said, how am I going to pay for it? He said, how do you want to pay for it? I said, how do I have to pay for it? I said, I got a credit card, which I did, you know. I said, I can put it on a credit. He said, I'll tell you what we'll do. He said, if you'll pay me, he said, I'll just let you pay as you go. You know what I mean? You don't have to pay anything. And he said, if you don't have the money during that lesson, he said, you can pay it when you get it. I said, well, I can do that. I can bleed for that, you know. I'll do it. So anyway, here we go. And we get it, go through all this stuff, and we learn to fly. And I remember the first time that I flew from Eufaula, you know, he was training me to get to Columbus, Georgia. I was the first airport with a tower that I went into. It was a controlled airport, and they had commercial aviation coming there. You talk about being intimidated. Oh, I was intimidated. And he had me flying in there. I developed a lot of skills flying down around Cuthbert, Georgia, landing in cow pastures and stuff like that, because he was a farmer, you know. And he told me, he said, now you had to do the books on your own. He said, I don't know how to do books. It's different in them days, you know. Anyway, he said, you've got to get the books on your own. And I did through a series of cassette tapes and reading books and all this stuff. But anyway, I got to Columbus, Georgia, and I remember my first time to go in there landing with my instructor. He's teaching me how to go to different airports. I remember I'm landing, and I was so concerned, and all these other planes are sitting out there watching, you know, and it never happened in these little airports I went to. And you want to do the best landing you ever can, and ever could, you know. And so when I got down to the runway, instead of flaring, I crashed it almost. I hit the ground. I mean, bang! I hit the ground, and we bounced up about 8 to 10 foot in the sky. It become a bouncing ball on them rubber tires. Now, that fella had always held his tongue because I was a preacher, but he went to cussing a blue streak. I'm telling you, he went to cussing. He flat got mad. He said, you about kill me. And I apologize. I'll raise you from the dead, hopefully. But I was learning because that's the only time that ever happened to me. But I was intimidated. So I went through all this process. I got my pilot's license. I got them in Dothan, Alabama. Anybody where that's down home. If you're going to get some good tomatoes, you go to down home, Alabama, down around Dothan and Abbeville. Y'all know where that's at, don't you? But anyway, go down to Dothan. And so I got my pilot license there. Well, now I got my pilot license, but I don't have an airplane. So I decided I'm going to have to get an airplane. And the only way I'm going to be able to get an airplane is through this vehicle of faith. And I've got to believe already that God has given to me, even though I don't have the money to buy it. I don't have a savings account. I don't even have a credit card with a credit limit big enough to buy one. You know what I mean? Nothing. I don't have anything like that. So I call myself setting my faith. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that I receive an airplane in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I said, Lord, after I got through praying that prayer, I said, thank you, Lord, that I got an airplane. I said, Brother Andy, what kind did you want? Didn't care, any kind. Just an airplane. Didn't care. If it'd fly, I wanted it. You know what I mean? It didn't matter. I didn't know, you know, today it's different. You know, we believe different, set our faith different because our faith's developed more. But I said, I believe that I received this airplane. And so what I would do is I would go down to Columbus Airport where nobody's looking. They had an observation deck, and the planes would come and land. They don't have it today because of security and all that. But I would go up on the observation deck. It would be on the second story. It was a two-story airport, not real big, you know. And I'd go out on observation deck, and of course there was doors that would open and close, two doors and they shut. And I'd make sure nobody was looking, you know, and I'd look around and make sure nobody was coming up the stairs to come to the observation deck. And I would look at these airplanes out there that were coming in or landing, and I would say to the runway, hear me, O ye runway. Woo! I mean, I lost my mind. And I started talking to that runway. I said, I'm going to fly my plane safely and economically off the runway. Do you hear me? And I'd see an airplane coming in and landing. I said, oh, airplane, do you hear me? I said, one of these days, I'm going to fly my airplane in here just like you coming in here and land. And I'm going to take off and I'm going to preach the gospel all over the place in the name of Jesus in my airplane. Yes. And I would say that. I'd go by that airport. When I went by that airport driving down the road, I would sometimes just go out of my way to go by that airport. I'd say, hear me, O ye runway. I said, I'm going to fly my plane in there, and I'm going to fly out of here. Well, this was in 1988 that I set my faith. Well, it turned into 1989. It turned into 1990. It turned into 1991. And the airplane goeth instead of cometh. Amen. I mean, yes, it was going. I could see them singing the song, I'll fly away, oh glory. And one day, can I tell on myself? Remember, I'm going to tell on myself. I got discouraged in 1991. About September, October, I got very discouraged. And I got on my knees and I began to pray. And I just said to the Lord, you know, I said, Lord, I must have missed it. I must have missed it. because I've been standing in faith. At least I believed I was in faith. To the best of my knowledge, I'm in faith because it's in the past tense. I believe that I got it. And of course, I'm renting airplanes to stay current, you know. 150s, 152s. And the ones I rented during those days, I mean, I took one lady up, a friend and family. I took one lady up, and the headliner of the interior fell down on us. While I'm flying! And it scared that lady. I couldn't see nothing. She couldn't see nothing. I just finally got it off of us, and she thought, oh, God, I'll get you back on the ground. The old airplanes I rented, you know, the directional gyro, you don't know what it is, but there's people here that does. It would process and precess so much that I'd have to land every 50 miles and reset it with a runway heading to know which way I was going. Because the compass didn't work. Oh, the things I used to do. But I just kept saying it. So this day I'm down in, on 1991. So starting 88, 89, 90, 91. Here we are, September, October, somewhere right in there. I got on my knees and said, Lord, I must have missed it. Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to miss it. I must have had this grandiose idea, you know, and I must have overstepped what I should do and went beyond myself. And just right in the process of me just pouring out my heart to God and having a solemn assembly with Him, the Spirit of God spoke up and said, son, you didn't miss it. I said, I didn't. I started squalling. I did. I started squalling. It's different than crying. Crying's where you can get your breath. Squalling where you get your breath every now and then. I mean, I was squalling. Because the Lord said to me, I mean, it just so touches me when He speaks to me. And it melted my heart. You know what I mean? He could love me so much to talk to me like that. He said, you didn't miss me and miss your faith. He said, the people that I spoke to have not obeyed me. He said, but I'll bring it to pass quickly. I said, yes, sir. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And I got up and I said, hear me, oh, ye runway. Oh, my Lord. I'm encouraged by the Lord. The Lord Himself said I didn't miss it. It's mine. See, I was a baby in these things, you know. And He's helping me. He wasn't putting me down. He's not going to put you down either. Don't be afraid to step out and believe God. If you miss something, He'll help you get back on track just like He did me. So don't worry. Don't get in fear. Get in faith. Just believe He's going to take care of you. So He told me I'm going to take care of it. A few days later, a pastor that was very close to Dad Hagin, Dr. Kenneth Hagin, very good friends with him. Very good. He was head of the ministerial organization, our region for Rhema, like your pastor Michael used to be. And anyway, I knew him through that avenue, but I didn't know him personally. Didn't have a real personal relationship with him. But I did develop one. And he called me on the phone because he had all my numbers, you know, because he's over me in the ministry and all. He called me on the phone, and I couldn't believe it. He said, Brother Randy, he said, I miss God, and he started squalling. That's what he said, I miss God. And he said, I've got to confess something to you. And I'm thinking, I'm too young. Don't call me. Call Brother Hagin. Don't tell me. Don't can say it to me. Because he said, I miss God. He said, I've been disobedient to God. This is just a few days after the prayer in 91. He said, is there any way you could be at my church the last Sunday of this year? He said, I've got to do something before this year is out. Remember, this is into September, October. And I said, sir, and I just knew from memory. I said, I'm supposed to be with Pastor Dave Ward. Remember Big Dave? Saved us on the catamaran. The story I tell about that? I was going to be at his church in Waycross, Georgia. You know, that's right there close to the Okefenokee Swamp. And that's where Bigfoot lives, even though he's here. You know, I know he's in Mayville over there. But anyway, he's got frequent flyer miles. He gets around, you know what I mean? So he was down there in the forest. And so I said, "Sir," I said, "I'm scared you would be the Pastor Dave Ward then." He said, "Do you mind if I call him?" Because he was over here in the ministry. And he said, "If he gives you permission and he releases you from coming there," he said, "will you come to my church?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, I'll do whatever. I said, but Dad Hagin taught me to be a man of my word, and I'll do it, you know. I'll go to his church." And it wasn't long, probably 5 minutes, Pastor Dave Ward called me. Not the same pastor. He said, "Brother Randy, I just got a phone call from Pastor Phil." I said, "Yeah." I said, "He talked to me." He said, "I don't want you to come to my church. Then we'll set up at another time." He said, "I can't tell you what it is, but you're going to be blessed." He said, "You go to his church." I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I'll do it." So I called Pastor Phil back because he told me to call after I'd talked to him and everything. And we set it up. And he wanted me to come, and he wanted me to sit in the service on Sunday morning. My wife and I, she remembers this vividly. We'd never been there. Big church to us, you know. Oh, Lord. And our elders in the Lord, too. And he said, "I want you to preach Sunday night, but I want you to be in the service Sunday morning." I said, "Yes, sir." So we got in Saturday, spent time with him, didn't know what was going to happen, you know. So Sunday morning, he preached a wonderful message like your pastors would do, you know, and then ministered to the people. And then at the end, he stood up. He said, "Brother Randy and Sister Patty, come to the platform." You remember that? And when he did, he pulled this envelope out of his pocket, and I didn't know what it was, you know. And he started crying. He broke down there on the pulpit. Well, I could look out the audience as I was walking up. It was a pretty big, high platform, steps, a few more steps than this, and I walked up on that platform beside him, and he grabbed me and hugged me. My wife was standing there beside me, you know. And he said, "The folks here," he said, "they know what's going on." And he said, "But you don't." He said, "The Spirit of God spoke to me several years ago." Remember? When I was believing God for an airplane? "The Spirit of God spoke to me several years ago and told me and told our church to sow a large portion of our building fund that was going to buy another building into your ministry so you can buy you an airplane." He said, "Here is the check." I opened the check and almost passed out. My God, I've never seen that much money in my life. Legal money. I've never seen that much in my life. Legal money. I'm talking about legal. This is legal stuff. This is God money. And you talking about squalling. I'm talking about my wife and I were so blessed. Couldn't have bought a setting hen. Couldn't have bought a laying hen. Couldn't have bought a hen that already laid the biddies and hatched them out and was running around with them. And here I had the cash money in my hand to go buy an airplane. Woo-hoo-hoo! Faith always ends in sight. Let me close by telling you the end of the story. I had the money, so I started searching for airplanes. I didn't really know what to get. And I didn't have the high performance sign off for things in, which is not a major thing to get, but I didn't have that, you know, for large engines, constant speed props and things. But anyway, I found an airplane up at Berry Hill Airport, Berryhill. And you have to be crazy to fly in and out of there. It's right in a subdivision. It's got trees on both ends, and so you have to zing, zing, boom, boom, beep. I'm acting out the way it really is. And you pray a lot going in, you know. And I was going to buy, I made an agreement to buy an airplane, a Piper Comanche 180. You know, one of them, a retract gear. And I'd never flown anything like that in my life. Had brand new paint job. The guy had reworked it. Had the cash money. We made the deal. And then I had to hire a flight instructor to go with me, Brad Yallerly, who had a fear of heights. He could not look over a balcony on the second floor, but he could fly an airplane. Going up there, where those guys are that's going to do the Blues Brothers flip off, he couldn't do that. I keep talking to him. I hadn't seen them come down yet. But leap off. That's what the devil told you. Jump. You the devil. I ain't listening to you. But I went there, and I hired that flight instructor to fly the airplane back. And the owner of the aircraft said, "Sir," said, "you never owned an airplane before?" And I said, "No, sir." I said, "I don't know how to start this thing. I don't know nothing about it." He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "Before we make the transaction," he said, "let me do a low flyby for you. Just let you see what it looks like." And I said, okay. It means he's going to go out and come in and approach and zing down over that airport. He had the strobes flashing, all the lights going and everything. Beautiful paint job, dark blue with burgundy stripes down it. You know, this thing looked wonderful. And he backed off out there, and of course he got him a start. He'd come in there. He came in over that runway, probably about 110 to 120, which is pretty fast, about 5 foot off the ground. And I remember when that thing comes screaming by me, that engine humming and purring, I heard these words from the Holy Ghost. He said, "See, your faith will always end in sight." I saw it. And when it did, I collapsed right there on the ground. And Brad thought I had passed out. The flight instructor, he didn't understand. He's a good Catholic boy, but he didn't understand these things. In fact, I hired him to go with me. And the first meeting to teach me how to fly this airplane, and I paid him just to go with me all the time to learn how to fly. The first meeting I was in, I was out in Missouri. And I was going to let him run my book table, and he had to go to services with me and everything. And I was in the prayer line. The first person I laid hands on, the power of God hit them and knocked them flat as a flitter. Whoop! Well, Brad's in the back. He thought I killed him. He'd come up there fanning them and everything, you know, my God. But ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you this. If you act on God's word and believe God's word and exercise your faith will always end in sight. However, not always overnight. The things of God don't always come instantly. Sometimes we receive things instantly. But in that interim process of the time I say I believe to the time the receiving takes place, that's where the battle takes place. And your mind wants to take over. And the enemy tells you it's not working. Just like me, I thought it wasn't working there in 91. I kept, even though I felt like it wasn't working, it looked like it wasn't working, I dare not say it. Till that day I got down on my knees and I told God, I said, "I must have missed it. I must have got it wrong." And he said, "No, you didn't get it wrong." Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I was in another airplane one time. I'm going to shorten this real easily. And I had a failure, electrical failure. I had it twice. Same airplane. Had it repaired. They told me nothing wrong with it. Just go and fly. I was going to Charlotte Douglas International Airport with this airplane. And I was believing God for a twin. I was flying a single then. And all of a sudden, the electrical failed. And so I had no way to get down on that runway, had no way to communicate with air traffic control. Engine still running, it has nothing to do with the systems on the aircraft. You know, once you start it up and it works off its own firing system, magnetos, it's going, you know, unless you do something crazy. And so I had a handheld backup radio, battery powered, and that's what saved me. I called Charlotte Tower, told them my situation because they had me already, they were already talking to me, but I was on what they call approach. But I called the tower and told them, "I've had an electrical failure. All power's failed. I'm talking to you, you're battery powered." I had to listen. I didn't have nothing to plug it to my headphones. I'd have to listen on one side and listen on this side. And finally just took my headsets off because they ain't no good, you know, because I can't hear it through my radio system. And so they took me out by radar and talked me down. Have you ever done that? Talk you down by radar? Well, I had experience about that because we come up by Fort Benning, Georgia. And they used to let civilians go out there and the air traffic controllers talk us down by radar. You know, turn here, through the head, and descend this way and all. And so I got that plane on the ground. And anyway, to make a long story short, in this meeting, the Spirit of God gave me a twin-engine airplane. And he also gave me a brand-new engine from a single-engine airplane. And I started weeping and crying and praying about it. And I said, "Lord," I said, "why why did this happen? I said, why did I get killed? Because the man told me when they took the engine off, he said, this engine should have come apart in flight. There was some bearings or something that was wrong, and it was constant vibration, but I didn't know it. It had been that way since I owned the airplane. And I thought that was just a characteristic. But anyway, I said, why didn't this thing crash? Because Mr. Bob, the mechanic, said, it's a miracle that you're not dead. I said, why did this crash? How did I make it all the way here with all this problem? And this is what the Lord said. He said, I had to get you to a place so I could get you some help. Don't let that pass you by. He said, I had to get you to a place that I could get you some help. And he did. The Lord bought me a twin-engine aircraft there, and he bought me a brand-new engine for that single-engine airplane, so I had two. God's a big God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just about airplanes, but anything you need from God, spiritually, physically, materially, financially, educationally, it does not matter. God more than wants and desires to give you the very desires of your heart. But the vehicle that there's going to come to you on is through the vehicle of faith. And we've talked about those things tonight. We talked about what faith is not. We talked about what faith is, how to know when you're in faith, and then gave an illustration of how it's worked for me in my life. And God wants it to work in your life even tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the Holy Ghost and the power and the anointing of God that has been released over this audience. And I thank you for the spirit of faith that has come upon them in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for the anointing that's permeating the atmosphere in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with impartations and anointings for this hour. Now you're here tonight and you say, Brother Randy, I'm ready to believe God. I'm ready to set my faith, whether it be spiritually, physically, materially, financially, educationally, family, it does not matter. You said, I want to set my faith. Well, if that's you, I want to believe God with you, and I'd like to pray for you. And if that's you, raise your hand boldly in Jesus' name. I see hands going up all over the place. Thank God. You can stand to your feet. And if you raise your hands, I don't know if there's any specific instruction, because quite a few raise their hands. But you can start down to the front. Where does the ushers want them to go? Just start down to the front. If you raise your hand for prayer, you start lining up shoulder to shoulder, side by side. Around the front. The ushers will assist you. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Shoulder to shoulder, side by side. Thank God. So what are we doing? We're not going to have an altar call. Call me to the altar. We're not having an altar call. Don't even think of an altar call. We're going to have a receiving session. That's what we come for. We're going to set our faith on God's word, not on what I said, but what He said. And we're not, from this moment on, we're not going to look to the future and say it's going to be mine one day. We're going to look back and say it's already mine. Amen. That it belongs to us right now. It belongs to you right now. In the name of Jesus. So there must be a time that you step into what Brother Hagin used to call the arena of faith. Let it be the moment that I lay hands on your head. Whatever it is that you come for, you just claim it right then. You believe that you receive it right then. And then from then on, what you're going to do? You're going to thank God for it because it's yours. I'm going to start over here to my left. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Father, I lay my hands upon these people. And I thank you for impartations of the Spirit of the living God to be imparted. Father, they're believing that they receive right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Enter into that realm. They're stepping into the arena of faith. Believe that you receive right now in the name of Jesus. Step into that arena of faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just step into that arena of faith right now and declare it. Declare it. Act in faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I thank you that it's going to be better than what we've even believed. It's going to be bigger, Lord, than what we believed. Lord, it's going to be better, Lord, than what we've even seen or even thought about it. And we thank you for it now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we believe it. We receive it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we believe that we receive it right now. In the name of Jesus, we're stepping into that arena of faith. The arena of faith. It's mine now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it's already mine. I said it's already mine because that's what you're believing. It's already mine. I believe you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're entered into that realm of faith right now. We're entered into that arena of faith right now in the name of Jesus. It's mine right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe that we have received. Lord, we believe that we have received in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we believe that we have received. Yes, after you pray and believe God, then what you start doing, you start thanking God. You start glorifying God. You start magnifying God. Why? Because it's already yours. I said it's already yours. You believe that you receive right now. In the name of Jesus, I believe that I have received. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we believe that we have received right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe you. We trust you. We glorify you. We magnify you. Because we enter into this arena of faith. Lord, we believe it now. We enter into the arena of faith. Lord, we believe that we receive right now. Lord, we thank you that it's bigger than what we believe. It's greater than what we believe. It's more than what we thought that we could conceive. Thank you for it now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe it. We receive it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we believe that we receive right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I believe that I have received in the name of Jesus. Lord, we enter into this arena of faith. Lord, and we declare that it's mine now. It's mine right now. It's mine right now. It's mine right now in the name of the Lord Jesus, because I believe that I have received by faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. I said faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Father, we believe it right now. Lord, we receive it right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we believe it and we receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we enter into this arena of faith. Lord, we enter into the arena of faith. Lord, we enter into this arena of faith, and we believe that we have received based upon your word, because we're doing what we heard. Father, we believe that we have received, and we enter into this arena of faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you for it, Lord. We glorify you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, because your word is true. Lord, we enter into this arena of faith. Lord, we believe in you. Lord, we're trusting you. And we thank you that it will be just as you said it would be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll never be the same, because we've been changed by his power, by his spirit, and by his anointing. Lord, we believe that we have received in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I invoke and I speak a very special blessing over every individual under the sound of my voice. And Father, I thank you for the anointing to increase in every area of their lives. And Father, I thank you that you're glorified thereby. And Father, we give you the honor, the praise, and glory for all good things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I have preached myself happy. Every time you might get weary, remember the donkey. Everything is going to be all right. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for putting up with us. You may be seated. I'll turn it over.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we got our help tonight, didn't we? Amen. Glory to God. I'll tell you what we got tonight is the answer. You know, there's so many things that, you know, the Lord has for you in your life. And you'll start to, you know those things ahead of time. You'll start to, you know, receive that desire. You'll know that, you know, the Lord could have something for you. It could be a job. You know, it could be a new home. You know, I'll tell you what, there's some folks that you're believing for a spouse. I mean, you're believing for healing in your body. You're believing something for your business. I'll tell you, there's so many different avenues that we need to release faith. It's the answer. Amen. It's the answer. Glory to God. I tell you what, we're believing some things around here in the Jamestown Church. Amen. 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, and I'll tell you what, we just consider it done. We consider it done. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, not only did we get our answers here tonight, but Reverend Greer demonstrated for us exactly how to operate that faith, right? He kept saying over and over, I believe, I receive. I believe, I receive. And the Bible tells us over there in Hebrews 10:23 that we hold fast to our confession of faith. You know, there's a saying in the boating world, in the sailing world. When I went to sailing school, you know, there's a term, you know, we got out there in storms and you have to tie something down. There's a term, make it fast. That doesn't mean just hurry. That doesn't mean the speed in which you do something. It means tie it down so it cannot move or get away from you. You have to make it fast. I'll tell you what, your confession of faith, make it fast. Tie it down so it cannot get away from you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So glory to God, Reverend Greer. Thank you so much for following and obeying the leading of the Holy Ghost. We've been so helped here tonight. Amen. You've got your answer. You've got your assignment. I love what the Spirit of God said to Reverend Greer. You know, your faith will always end in sight. It might not be overnight, but it will end in sight. Amen. We're going to get ready to take up our love offering. And of course, tonight is double up offering night. What does that mean? The Bible says that those that labor in word and doctrine are worthy of double honor. The Bible tells us in Galatians 6:6 that if we have been taught things in the Word of God, we should communicate good things to those that teach us. So tonight's offering is strictly for Randall Greer Ministries. How many of you believe other believers need to hear this message, right? Well, let's help send Reverend Greer to everywhere God has for him. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's envelopes there in your seat pockets in front of you. We're simply, if we're making out any checks, we're making them out to Family Church, and then we will present one big offering to Reverend Greer. Let's be generous. Amen. Let's pray as we get ready to give. Father God, we love you and praise you. Father God, we're not here to try to pay for what we're believing you for. Father, we know that Jesus has already paid the price. And so, Lord, we are just here to honor you, to love you, Father, and to honor those that teach us the Word of God. Father, as your Word says that if we've been taught spiritually, we should communicate and give good things. So, Father, we love you. We praise you. And, Father, we put a great value on the Word we've been taught here tonight. And so, Father, as we give, we just say that all Randall Greer Ministries needs are met. Father, they are abounding in the blessings of God. They have more than enough supply to go everywhere that you send them. And Father, we know that as we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. Lord Jesus, you said to us, give and it would be given back to us. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into our bosom. And so, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give. We love to give, and we're joyous givers here tonight, according to your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Praise the Lord. Well, I know I've already asked you so many times, but did you get your help here tonight? Yes, we got our answer. Faith is always our answer. Amen. It's always the answer. And I tell you what, it sure sounds a lot better coming out of your mouth than complaining, griping, and fussing about things. So praise God. Faith is our answer. Let's go ahead and let's stand to our feet. Let's make sure that we give all the glory for everything said and done. Let's give it to the Lord here tonight. Amen. And before we do so, just a reminder for our Jamestown Church, there is no service tomorrow night, you know, and just a reminder for that. Let's just give the Lord all the praise and glory. Father, we praise you tonight. Father, we thank you for this word. Father, we thank you that we can operate in faith. Father, we thank you that we can receive those things. Lord, even when they are not standing in front of us, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we believe we have those things that have not yet manifested in the material realm. Father, we praise you. We glorify you. Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory.